hey everybody, and welcome to week four of the Advent series of the Memento podcast, which is a podcast by Washington Avenue Christian Church. See, here at Washington Avenue, we understand that sometimes we forget who we are, and sometimes we forget what we're supposed to do, and sometimes we even forget what we talked about on Sunday. And so in an effort to remind you of who you are and what you're supposed to do and what we talked about on Sunday, we bring to you each week this Memento podcast. And like I said, it's week four of our Advent series, I don't know, whatever it is. And that's kind of hard to believe. It was not very long ago that we were talking about week one and Advent being new and fresh and exciting. And here it is, a month into it now. And hopefully it's still new and still fresh and still exciting for you. It's hard to believe that like this is our last Advent podcast, at least, and we'll take a break for a couple weeks after this, just so that we can all have some time off. I'll be in New Hampshire and Isaac will be here, probably, unless he's going somewhere else. I don't know what he's doing. But we won't be here at the church and we won't be recording the podcast, so take a couple weeks off and come back again in mid-January. But week four of Advent is, the candle is known as the peace candle. It's kind of the theme of the week, peace, and it's the angel's candle. And I've been thinking a lot about peace, and maybe I've been thinking more so about a lack of peace, because there's a lack of peace in my world right now. We're in the process of like trying to buy a house and sell a house, and it's just weird, and it's the worst possible time to do it, because it's like, I mean, today's what, the 21st, and like people don't want to buy houses at Christmas time. I don't blame them. I didn't really either, but here we are nonetheless. And so it's a stressful mess. And I've been thinking a lot about Jesus' title, the Prince of Peace, and what that means and how we understand it, and maybe more significantly, how we misunderstand it. So, set up a little context here. It's mentioned in a couple of different spots, first of all, where, you know, the angels, they appear to the shepherds and they say good news, great joy, to all, peace on earth, right? Peace on earth and goodwill to them whose favor rests. Sorry, I'm a mess right now. So I apologize. It's been a less than peaceful start to my day so far. And then later on, of course, you know, actually this is even beforehand. Sorry, I'm all out of order. So I apologize. Let's start over. Not totally, but like right here and right now. So the angel comes to Mary and he says that the baby's name, Jesus' name, will be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and government will never depart from him. All the, you know, rest on his shoulders, all that thing. And then once he's born, then the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to them on whom his favor rests. We got it right, right? And so kind of like hope and joy and all of these things like that we've been talking about is peace is a word that we use a lot here at the holiday season, right? And unfortunately, the 70s and the hippies, 60s and 70s and the hippie era, you know, they kind of like warped and distorted this idea of peace. As much as I wish that peace was, you know, just about this like inner, my buttons are scratching the table, are all about this like meditative, you know, calm, chillness. It's part of it, but it's not the whole thing. And I don't think that that's what the angels, Michael and the whole host, were declaring to Mary or to the shepherds whenever they were saying peace and that Jesus' name will be the Prince of Peace. It's not like he's some super, he's like the hippie king or anything like that. And so the question becomes, what is peace. And maybe this is the most basic lack of, you know, study derivative definition that we can give, but peace is a lack of conflict, right? Whether that's like physical conflict or an emotional conflict or relational conflict or whatever it is, peace is the lack of that. Well, maybe we also need to ask and understand what is conflict. And one of my professors told me that they the definition of conflict is when two kingdoms or entities try and occupy the same space at the same time. It's conflict. And I can't think of something that like maybe describes our world better, right? Now or, you know, forever than this. Two kingdoms of light and darkness trying to occupy the same space at the same time. And it says that Jesus will be the Prince of Peace. So when I think about peace, and how peace is brought forth into the world, there's really three ways. And to my real knowledge, only one of them works, all right? So here's the first way that you can attempt, at least, to bring about peace is through, strength, right? And by eliminating everybody and everything that doesn't agree with you. This is how the Romans approached it. They had this concept called the Pax Romana, right? The Peace of Rome. And the Peace of Rome was what they were always after. And if you were somebody who disturbed the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, then they killed you. Easy as that, like simple as that. They just like snuffed your insignificant little life out. And again, there was peace. And so you're really creating peace in two ways. You're either creating peace by absolutely destroying that which is disturbing the peace, or squashing by way of fear those who might be tempted to disturb the peace, right? This is how Rome operated. One historian said that the Pax Romana was to be feared among above all things, right? Like, you do not want the Pax of Romana to come, because it is not peace, it's a sword. So that's one way to do it. You can just eliminate all opposition. But that's not really peace, that's oppression and fear-based ruling. The other way that you can create peace, or at least attempt to, is what I think we all at some point lean into and trust is legislation, right? So the more laws we have, the more peace we'll have, which works out great, except it doesn't at all, because you can't legislate morality, and you certainly can't use legislature to change the heart, right? And at the end of the day, and at the beginning of the day, peace and the lack thereof isn't an issue of not having enough force or not being violent enough. It's not an issue of not having enough laws or legislatures. The peace and lack thereof is a condition of the heart, right? And violence doesn't change hearts, and strength and military might doesn't change hearts, and legislature doesn't change hearts. So we're left with only one option left, and praise be to God that this is the way that He chose to bring peace into the world, and it's through love, which sounds cheesy, right? But like, this is the thing that Jesus came to be and to do for us, to show us how God's kingdom operates. Think about it like this. If conflict and the lack of peace is two kingdoms trying to occupy the same space at the same time, and let's just say, that the same space at the same time that they're trying to occupy is planet Earth, and maybe even more than that, human hearts, then God had three options. The option number one is obliterate everything and everyone and just exist eternally in his triune self, God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit, and be content that way, because that's how it was for all of eternity past. He would be more than fine to be and do that again for all eternity to come, but that is not what God chose to do. Again, praise be to God. He could have obliterated us, but he didn't. He could have legislated peace, but legislation doesn't change the heart, right? And that's the story of the Old Testament, right? The Ten Commandments and, 600 and some odd other laws, all meant to, illustrate to people how bad they were and how in need of a Savior they were. And it doesn't work, right? So the only good, only real option is incarnate love. Right? For Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, to put on the skin that he created and enter into our world in the form of a baby, a child, to literally, I heard it put recently, and apologies if this offends you, but to literally love the hell out of us, right? That's the kingdom way. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like, is Jesus and therefore his disciples and us loving people into a peaceful relationship with God. That's how we came here. It wasn't, like I said earlier, through violence or force or, a great keeping of the law and legislator that brought us into a loving relationship with God or a peaceful relationship with God, but through the self-sacrificial emptying of Jesus himself through his love for us that restored the relationship between us and God. That emptying, the Greek word is kenosis, to empty. And so you may or may not hear people or me talk about kenotic politics, right? The politics of Jesus being that, he led, he ruled as king. He, in some ways, became king, not by elevating himself, but by emptying himself. Kenotic politics, and that is the example that was left to us and for us. So, we all want peace on earth, right? Whatever that means and that looks like, and you could ask anybody what that means, and most people would give you different things. And unfortunately, when we talk about peace on earth and how to accomplish it, it's we lean more towards the obliteration or legislation. Right. Some people are just like, well, if everybody just agreed with me, then there would be peace on earth. If everybody agreed with my political party and the way that we think that we should do things, then there would be peace on earth. Or if we just had more laws and legislature that people would follow, then there would be peace on earth. But that's not working. Hasn't in the past, it's not currently, and it won't in the future. The only thing that can and will and has is the only thing that actually has the power to change our hearts, and that's kenotic, self-emptying, self-sacrificial love. That is the basis upon which Jesus built his kingdom. The Prince of peace, right? So Prince and peace. The basis on which the kingdom of heaven is built is on the self-sacrificing, self-emptying love that Jesus gave to us as an example to be. In his final charge to his disciples in John chapter 15, he said, love one another as I have loved you, right? Greater love has no man than this, than he who would empty himself to lay down his life for his friends. The servant is not greater than the master, right? So all of these things, this example that I'm giving you of love and that I've been giving you for the last 3 years, this is what I expect you to do, Jesus is saying. And 1 John says they will know that we are Christians, that we are followers of Jesus by the way we love one another. The Prince of Peace is ruling in the kingdom of heaven, which is a kingdom that's built on love. Peace is only attained, only grasped, only grabbed, only lived out through love. Jesus said in his prayer, right, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I can't help but think, I can't help but believe, based off of what I've studied, that the best way that is executed and organized and brought forth in the here and now as only a glimmer of the fullness that is to come is the way in which we love and take care of people. Jesus didn't only talk about, and I could go on and on and on about this, he didn't only talk about the ways in which we love each other, other disciples and brothers and sisters in Christ, but way early on in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it was, when he's talking about enemy, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor as yourself, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So our love then and the peace that it brings is not brought about by obliterating our enemies because they disagree with us, but loving them whether or not they do. And treating them the way that Jesus would treat them, whether or not they agree with us. And maybe, just maybe, the love of Jesus that's operating in and through us is the only thing strong enough to change the human heart. I believe that it is. And so what I hope for you in this last week of Advent, when you listen to this on a Thursday, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. So there's not a lot of time, but there's also a ton of time because like that's when the family stuff really ramps up and like maybe that's where it needs to start. It's just in our own families. And maybe rather than arguing about our disagreements, maybe if you just emptied yourself and loved those in your own family with whom you disagree and loved them the way that Jesus loves them and empty yourself the way that Jesus emptied himself for them, maybe, just maybe, your Christmas might be great. And there may not be conflict, right? My ideas and your ideas trying to occupy the same space at the same time, but just a peace that I think Ephesians says passes all understanding. I hope you find that this year, and I hope that as we're thinking about this over the next couple of days, that it begins to sink not in just into your head but into your heart, that the only way to change the human heart, the only way to actually accomplish peace in this world is not through obliteration, and it's not through legislation. It's only through the self-emptying, kenotic, politic love of Jesus living in and through me. We love you guys a lot, and I don't know how many of you are on this journey with us, but I'm thankful for each and every one of you as we try and figure this out and weigh what to talk about and what not to talk about. I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. And I am already looking forward to diving back in with you in 2022, which sounds crazy to say. So if this is your first time listening to us, make sure that you subscribe to our podcast or hit the notification button so that you get buzzed whenever the new episodes drop. We are so thankful for you, and we can't wait to see you again soon.